Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. And the truth is there's no reason for celebration at all, except for what you accomplished for us at the cross. So, Lord, we just thank you for that, Lord. And I just pray that we just came through Thanksgiving. But, Lord, that Thanksgiving would come through us, Lord, and that a life of being thankful would be a work that you do in our lives, because we see how good you have been to us and continue to be. So, Father, I just ask even now that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, we need you. So we ask that you would meet us where we are right now, each of us. As even we see in the scriptures we go through, Lord, that everybody is going through their different circumstances at each moment. But Lord, you know how to meet us there. And so we ask, Lord, that you would increase our faith, Lord, to trust you even more. And just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we should get through verse 65. So if you want to open up to Luke 22. I know we looked at verses 47 and 48 last week about being a friend. Any thoughts before we get started? Thoughts, questions, subtractions? Nope? Good.
Well, okay. She died Friday. But Ev had an opportunity to visit her, and she said that what you said on Sunday about being a friend, because I wasn't here at that baptism, but she told me that it made such an impact on her. And she went and played music, and she was out of it. Ellie was out of it at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, not responsive, but, you know, her daughter said, you can talk to her, she's in here. And she did to share with her Christian songs and just praising over her. So, we don't know what happened. She died before Ed got back on Friday. She was supposed to be there on Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And at 12:10, she received a phone call that said she just passed. Mm-hmm. She was supposed to be there at 12:30. So, anyway, she just thanked everybody. And she told me that that was very impactful. What you spoke about being a friend made her really feel like being a friend was doing what you were doing, I guess,
praise the Lord.
Their mothers, not her, but, you know, that was very impactful. So I will share that with you because I wasn't here.
The gist was Jesus is a friend to all.
Yeah.
Are we friends?
Yes.
To all. Basically was the gist. And if you want the words, they're up on the internet. Wow, this is going to be weird. I haven't had this for a while. You want to do some reading?
Sure.
Verse 47 to 65.
47 to 65.
Luke 22.
Ready? And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, permit even this? And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But But he denied him, saying, Woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, You also are of them. But Peter said, Man, I am not. Then, after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, Surely this fellow also is with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, Man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is the one who struck you? And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him.
Thank you. So I kind of wanted to look at today, maybe in a way, maybe pulling some names in that, well, I look at this as how, I'm trying to put it in a title, which I'm not good at, but it's kind of what happens when Jesus doesn't meet your expectations as a friend of his. Right? We have Judas was a friend. Jesus said it. We have Peter, a friend of God. He told him that, right? All the disciples, he basically said, you were my friends, right? So, but all these guys didn't understand the fullness of everything Jesus was telling them. Is that safe to say? Does any of us in this room have end times down? Have all these things down. And we have verses, but we don't know what the full fulfillment of. We've seen it, mirror dimly, but then face to face. So there's many times in our Christian walk, look, we're looking back. I mean, that we can see things that these men, like, we're all like, well, don't they just get it? Well, we live in this world today that some people could look at our lives and say, don't they just get it? Because there's so much truth and there's so much available through His Word that we can trust in, that we don't have to go through all these problems if we would just trust Him. Right? Even when we don't understand. There are many prophecies that talked about Him coming and reigning, the coming one reigning and ruling. So you have to understand at this time, Judas, who had turned Him over, and Peter, who just sat there and said, well, wait a minute. Even though he talked to them about dying, they still didn't quite understand all of it. They just knew that there was going to be a coming king who's going to reign and rule and cast off all darkness. Right? So this night has to be a shocker. Wouldn't you say? Even though he told them about it. I mean, if you can put yourself in those shoes, like, I'm following this man, I'm a disciple of the Messiah, the anointed one from God, who's going to come and set up the kingdom where there'll be no end, who's being taken away by soldiers. Right? It kind of doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So, a lot of times, you know, I think in our Christian walk, we get in situations and we find that we understand the Word, I'm a friend of God, but yet, I might not quite understand everything. I have some doctrine, but I don't know Him. And so I wanted to look at some of these, just a few things here. Like, we're going to talk about Peter's denial, but I think more importantly, I want to look at it as a way of, it's more of the Lord's fulfillment of His Word. These two go hand in hand. And so there's some verses I wanted to look at and some things, and hopefully through all this hopefully know more and more is the best case scenario. And also how to deal with failure. Because if you're a believer, you better get used to it. We make mistakes. We have wrong ideas and impressions of how God's going to do things. And when our faith is thrown up in the air, we tend to do things that we might not normally do. And so, just wanted to look at a few things. I know we've all been taught about Peter's denial, and you guys probably have better answers than I do, but I have a few things I wanted to point out and go from there. So one of the things, when we look at Peter's denial here, when the girl, it says, I just find this funny because I think it's some, I think we're going to find that some of the failures are some of the same failures we find in our own selves sometimes. And they're just ways we can learn. Verse 54 to 56, saying, having arrested them, they led him and brought him to the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Now when they kindled the fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. When you go through the scriptures and you see the word certain, there's like a certain person, it's actually talking about a certain person. Like when it says a certain man went out, he has a person in mind. I point this out because in John, and you don't have to turn there, in John 18, we find out who this girl is. And it says that Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known by the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. See now it says Peter followed him at a distance. So he came to the courtyard of the high priest and he stopped. And then many believe it's John because he never uses the name a lot of times but talks about himself in third person that he's the other disciple. That's the best wisdom that people come up with who that other disciple is. But it says a certain servant. So then he said, but Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door. And brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, are you not also one of this man's disciples? I find it interesting that even in a failure that he's trying to lie to somebody that just allowed him to come through the door. It's just interesting that how when things are a mess and things aren't, that we're willing, Peter was willing just to outright lie to somebody that knew better. And so I just kind of think it's not just a certain girl or just somebody walked up and said, hey, were you with him? No, this is someone that saw him following him. I think later we find out that, anyway.
And what would happen if he said, yes, I was?
Then he would have passed and this wouldn't be in here. Right? We don't know. We never know when we make the right decisions what the outcome would be. You know? Huh?
Or God could have worked something out that he actually executed
for.
And God
could have performed. Right. He had denied him somewhere else because he said, you're going to deny me three times. At some point in time. Right? Because he can't be wrong. And that's one of the things we have to understand. Jesus said to Peter, you will deny me. But he didn't just talk to Peter. He told all his disciples this night, you all will deny me. They all fled. When Judas came up to Jesus, and John it says, Jesus asked the multitude coming to him, whom do you seek? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. What happened? Anybody know?
We all fell down.
They all fell in. Right? So they're all standing right there, coming at him. But he went and it actually says that, well, now that you've made it clear you're for me, let the rest go. So he protected even when he was being taken out. And he even offered himself up. You see, there's a difference between trying to hold on to your life and lie about it and being willing to trust the Lord and yield yourself up to the circumstances. So I just kind of thought that that was funny. And I'm not trying to rip Peter down, because I think in a lot of ways, many times in our own actions, even when we're around people who know that we're with Jesus, that our words deny him a lot. So there's questions that we have to ask ourselves. How do you work through this knowing I love the Lord, I'm a friend of the Lord, and he's my friend, but yet I still fail? Some people say when you come to Jesus, everything's made perfect. You're given a new heart. You never sin anymore. I haven't met anybody yet that can prove that now. That's just me. So, I'm going to look at a few things. Romans 15:4, right, says whatever things were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of Scripture, might have hope. Now, I know that many people come to the Scriptures and bring out all these different things, but they always try to say that they're doing the right thing. Right? Everybody says, oh, I want to be like early church. Because everything's written out, what they did, and everything was done right. I don't agree with that. I think there's a lot of mishaps in the Scriptures that the Lord brings to light so that we don't feel like there's something special. But they had something that we didn't have. They failed. They needed a Savior. They're here that we can see these failures in some instances, in some instances, victories, right? But in any of these things, that we find them and see them so that we can grow and hold on to them and have hope. Not in our own thought process, but in Him. That we can trust Him and His Word. So I'm going to read a verse that most people probably won't. Anyway, I'm going to read it. James 5:17 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Right? Now, in light of context, it's talking about that Elijah prayed. And it's talking about the prayer of faith will heal the sick and save. Right? But that little point there is very key for us to understand. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. You cannot get away that we are in this flesh. You cannot get away from being in this body until he calls us home. But we can understand that we have this nature, and we have this ability to take, on this example of Elijah, it says that he had this nature, but he prayed earnestly and didn't rain, and did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Now, did that mean Elijah did not move God to hold off the rain? Okay? Before Elijah prayed, God said, go to the brook, and I'm going to take care of you. And I'm going to cut off the rain. So Elijah, in his nature like ours, basically yielded to the word he already knew and brought it before the Lord and was seeking the Lord, and the Lord provided. But there is a nature of flesh that I'm pointing out here, that I want to put out here, because Peter had the nature. Judas had the nature. The rest of the disciples had the same nature as every one of us. Right? Everybody says, well, back then they didn't have the Holy Spirit. Well, Elijah prayed. He had the light, the Spirit. He might have not been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but it's not his Spirit was alive and unto God and ministering back and forth. Our salvation is no different than theirs. We trust in the one who came. They were looking forward to one coming, but still believing his word. But there is that thing we can never forget, and that is the we have this human flesh nature that I think we can all agree with. If you've walked with Jesus for more than about 10 seconds, it's reared its ugly head again. Right? So, I want you to remember that, because we can get in those situations just like Judas, or we can get in situations like Peter, that we have misconceptions and understandings of the completeness of everything that God's told us, and it calls fear to come in certain ways. Like, we know the end, but everybody still argues over all the in-between, right? All the smart people studying and stuff like that. So there's things we don't know, and there's things we do know. Like, last week we talked to that we're a friend of God. And I think that a lot of times when we... sometimes we just allow him to be friend instead of Lord. And, or friend instead of Savior, friend instead of Master. But even, what does the scripture we looked at last week? He's a friend because he's declared all things to us, right? That's what he said to the disciples in John. You are my friends because I have told you what's going to happen. Well, we have that same thing. We've been told what's going to happen. He considers us friends. But in that, we can hang on to the friendship that we have, even though we have misunderstandings. Does that make sense? And we can be relying on the friendship and letting it go. But he has his word that says, you're going to deny me. And stuff. But yet he's facing these trials. So, how do we go through failure? How do we get past failure? Keep in mind, Peter didn't do anything that God didn't already say was going to happen. Right? So, we know it's going to happen. Can we stop God's word from happening? Can we interfere with God?
No.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. Like-mindedness. Want to make sure we're on the right on the same page. But if you look back further and earlier in Luke, we talked about it. And this is when Jesus says, you're going to deny me. In verse 31, he says, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you return to me, strengthen your brother. But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day before you deny me three times. So when we look at Peter's actions, in some ways, we learn in the other Gospels that Peter's the one that cut the servant's ear off. Right? So at the beginning, we see, it says, they said, should we use the sword? Did they wait for an answer? I think it's the way a lot of us pray a lot of times. We're praying and asking the Lord for things and ask for direction, but we never wait to hear, and then we, like Peter, end up cutting off ears a lot of times. That we can say the wrong thing before and things like that. These are the same types of things that happen. It's kind of funny that Peter was ready to die. Remember his words, I'm willing to go to prison and I'm willing to die. Well, when you have a full multitude coming out against you with clubs and swords, and you only have two swords, that's what they said in the upper room, and they haven't done anything but from there walk to the garden. They only have two swords, and there's a whole multitude coming at you, and of course he picks the servant, not soldier, not the high priest, but he picks a servant. But the beautiful thing is that the Lord can pick and heal the things that we cut off. You know, there's truths, there are lots of different truths in here. But the greatest thing would be to come to a place that you wait to hear from the Lord before you respond. And many times, we cut off ears when we think we have to defend Jesus. That I have to come up for his defense. Right? Especially when you're in a conversation and everything you don't really quite understand, getting mixed. We try to defend Jesus. Well, he doesn't need you to defend him. He just needs you to proclaim him. He doesn't try to defend that he is God. Like the scriptures, God doesn't, he just says in the beginning, God. And it's true. So, there's some things that, and Jesus, what he says to Peter here, when he's talking to him, he's saying, there's hope in Jesus' words to Peter. When he tells him, you're going to deny me, right? There's hope just in the simple words. And then I have some questions you guys have to answer because I need help. Okay? Jesus first said, I pray for you. And he is our mediator. He is our intercessor. And he is our Lord. And he's praying. Actually, it says daily making intercession. That your faith should not fail. Not you, but your faith. And when you return to me, strengthen the brethren. So Jesus already said, yeah, I know you're going to fall. But I also know you're going to return to me. Because I can't deny this stuff. Because I prayed for you. And then that's when Peter says, I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to die for you. Well, the truth is, who here is ready to go to prison and die for Jesus today? I mean, we see what's happening in the world. We all think that we'll do the right thing. Right? Or we have these questions. It depends on the circumstances. You know, these things come up. I mean, every day you're out there in the midst of this, my life, deny or exemplify the Lord when we're around people. At all times, you know, we have these things going on. So, we have this word as a promise. Yes, we're going to fail, but we also have this word that he's going to take care of and that he's in control. And I know that this is Peter, but I do believe it's Paul. He knows your frame and that you're but dust. Right? Doesn't take excuses away. It's why he came and died and laid down his life for us on the cross to take on our sins. We can't forget that. We have to keep and remember that. So how do we go through this? What were some of the things going on with Peter? Let's just take some examples why you think maybe he had fallen. What's any verses that come to your mind when Peter responds to Jesus? Any thoughts that you would know? Just what's his mindset when Jesus says, you're going to deny me?
He denies him.
Hmm?
He denies him.
Pride. I will not deny you. I am ready. Right?
Be careful. What comes to my mind is be careful where you stand. That lest you fall. He uses the key.
1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. And so these are lessons for us. So, and it's very important. As a friend of God who's had everything unfolded to you, you can be walking in a misunderstanding of his word and not seeing it completely and be disappointed. And, or you can yield trust in him that he's in control. And even though you're in a bad circumstance, that he will make a way of escape, which is himself. to rely on Him and trust Him, right? Not on your own merits. So we got to be careful that even the things you think you know, we know in part, and we see through the glass dimly. You know, and so that's important. And sometimes we take the things we know, and our doctrine becomes what our relationship's based on more than our relationship itself. But I can go to here and pick and choose and think I'm doing well rather than coming to Him and saying, I know I can't and I need your help. Lead and guide me, direct me, show me, strengthen me so that you can get glory. We can't be at a place where I'm willing to do it. It has to be, Lord, you have to. I can't. First Corinthians 8:2 says, if anyone thinks he knows anything, knows nothing as he ought to. This is a hard one for me because, like, I have doctrine in my head. And when people talk about things that I don't agree with, I just want to, wait a minute, that's not right. And I get into these battles and stuff. Small things, but it's just important to realize that His Word is an anchor. My understanding is minimal. That I should be able to walk in a place of humility and say, I understand, but I don't know that I see it all. When I think I understand and I know, I'm no longer a disciple. I'm not willing to be taught. I'm not willing to follow. I'm going to start standing on what I know instead of surrendering to what He has said. So I wrote in here, after failure, then what? Comparing the disciples and Jesus, there were different responses that night. Right? Can we all agree they all failed? They all fled, right? Matthew 26:56 tells us that all the disciples fled. And then you get, but Peter followed at a distance. And there's another disciple that went through the courtyard and two. So even though they did that, it was still considered fleeing. Jesus said they all fled, right? So, in a sense, when you hear following at a distance, that's just the same as being considered fleeing. You know? Any different, it doesn't matter how far behind, how far they fled, there's different distances, but they all fled. It's kind of interesting. Some betrayed. So there's different response. We don't have, well, we do. There's only one bad, super bad response, and that's Judas, right? Everybody know what happened to Judas? What? What did he do? Huh? Hung himself. Yep. Matthew 27:3-5, Judas, his betrayer, seeing he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. I have sinned. So he's remorseful and he's confessing. I've sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see it to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. Went and he hanged himself. And we're told that. So, Judas, it says, was sorrowful and tried to repent. But yet went and hung himself. What did Peter do? Verse 62. What's that?
He wept bitterly.
He went out and wept bitterly. He left, right? What's the difference?
Judas
rejected the Lord. He rejected Jesus, you know, as Lord. Even though you could see the Lord's heart, you know, God showed his heart to him.
Mm-hmm.
To come, turn around, anytime.
Well, and the lesson is Judas went to other men to repent and not to Jesus.
Yeah, he regretted it.
So, 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So how do I know if somebody is repentant or regretful? I mean, like, it could be the same emotions. It can be the same actions.
One is set free in the Lord, and the other is still in bondage, in a sense.
Right. And ultimately, we don't know the heart.
Yeah. Because of response, you know? Because what man's tendency is to hide from God. Judas. But anyway, with him aside, people from Adam and Eve on, they, you know, hid from God. They always hide, you know. But the Lord's showing his heart. He calls, no matter what you've done, even knowing Judas' heart was a betrayer, friend, he calls him friend, not like, you are a friend. Oh, you're a great friend. But his heart is,
I'm
friendly to you. His God's heart to us is always good, and it's always to the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. And it's because people want to hide, you know, they feel guilty. It just drives them, you know, and they just want to hide from God. But the Lord wants to just say, just turn around and respond to him. I guess people need to respond. Is that the answer?
Well, Judas was still hopeless, and Peter was still hopeful. Like, Judas despaired, even in his...
And he tried to take his actions and feelings into his own hands. And it caused him to die. Yes?
I see that in the second test. Because Peter's a very willing subject. And he was one of the boats in the storm. And as it was raging, he lost sight of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't keep his eye on him. And then he cried out to him. And the Lord saved him, compensated. At the end of this story, the rooster crowed, and it became Peter's remembrance, and turned and looked at the Lord. The other time, it never says he turned and looked back at the Lord. He was too fearful of the wind and the waves. Here he was afraid of the people, but he looked towards to the Lord. I think that's a very important teaching, that instead of looking at what's going on, you look to the Lord, and it's very helpful to us.
And one of the things I found that through all this, and it really comes back to God's word, because in verse 61 of Luke 22 it says, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, before the rooster crows you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept. You see, it wasn't that he couldn't make restitution for what he did. It was the simple fact that he remembered the Lord's words. Right? That the Lord spoke to him and gave him something to hold on to. Also, even in the cutting and the weeping bitterly, the truth is when we go back and we struggle and we fail, we look at his word, it should be cutting. It's what the scripture says. It says the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight. What happened, Peter? Jesus looked at him. Peter realized he was in the presence of the Lord. And his failures brought him to repentance because of God's word. So the word brought him to repentance, but it also brought him to restoration. That he could weep bitterly and come to the Lord. It says that there's no creature hidden from the sight. There are all things are naked and open in his eyes of whom to we must give an account. Yeah, it's out there. It's for us. But when we fail, we go back and see, we understand that I'm going anywhere outside the presence of the Lord, that he looks on me, he knows me. And all I need to do is cry out. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will
lift you up.
Right? He's not going to hold it against you. Nasty blue. Here's the list. And it never stops. It's them. It's, I'm here. With his word to bring us to a place. And just like Peter had a word from the Lord, we have the whole scriptures. And we have these things so that we can get into it, to hear the heart of the Lord, so that he can speak to our hearts, so that when we blow it, we can cry out and find that we have hope. Or when we read it and we think that we're doing really well, take heed. We have verses like that. And a friend is going to come along, and that's what Jesus does. He says, don't go that way. Go this way.
Well, as much as we hate our fallen humanity, there is great joy in knowing that he already knew, as he told that to Peter. Like,
yes.
Then when it happened, then he didn't have to run and hide in shame as if he did the most unpardonable thing by denying Christ three times, as bad as it was, and as much as he wept bitterly.
I mean, he could have tried to argue and sit there and say, I went second closest to you during your trial. I was the second closest out of everyone who fled. It's like coming in last place. One. So what's the answer? So remember Jesus said, when you come back to me, strengthen your brethren. I think there's a verse that in 1 Peter 3, verse 21, is a response to Peter's, you know, writing his letter to the church. He says, there's also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. And of course, you have to get through there and read all the different things in Peter. But ultimately, I wanted you to see the end, not the removal of filth and flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The reason why I say one of the things that Peter's trying to say here, well, first off, it's not talking about baptism saving you. Okay? It doesn't remove the filth of the flesh. Right? But the answer of a good conscience towards God. You see, it's not about my baptism. The only way I can have a good conscience towards God is if I understand that it's through his resurrection that I have an opportunity for life. You see, that I come to him and rely on what he has done. That he's laid down his life for me. For all of us. My good conscience that I walk in is that I'm saved and been given life, not because I earned it or deserve it, but because he chose to come. He chose. So I can have a clear conscience that I have life. Doesn't mean I don't fail. But he wants us to live in a life that our conscience is clear. It's one of the things that makes the gospel beautiful, is a clear conscience and sincere faith. Why is it good to have a clear conscience? Why does it even matter?
Because
create other issues like worry.
Right. Am I going to worry about my salvation if I believe that he took care of it all?
Well,
if I die?
It leads to condemnation of self. And when you condemn yourself, the only thing left is to kill yourself. It's the end. You're trying to get out of that self-condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't.
And Peter couldn't find an answer, so he did it on his own. And that's one of the biggest sifting tools, I believe, of Satan is you can't do it just, you know, suicide.
The hopelessness of self. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the tweet. That is. But the surrender, you see, that's how you would deal with it in the flesh. But in the spirit, we pick up our cross and we die daily. See the difference? I choose to do a living life of denying myself rather than just do it all at one time. It's living denial rather than just dying and killing. You understand? Like, he says, if you want to follow after me, he doesn't just say, hang yourself. He says, go pick up your cross and follow me. Because it's a walk. It's a life. It's not just a... Don't try to take it into your own hands. But he says, it's a good conscience towards God. And so, if you want to save yourselves a lot of headaches and a lot of stress, and a lot of worry, live with a clean conscience.
Walking in the resurrected life of Jesus.
Yes. Yeah. I can only have a clean conscience because of this resurrected life. But with that clean conscience, I can choose to keep it clean. Meaning that if I don't do things to wreck it in areas of denying, then living in regret and not holding my own life dear to me, so I have any regrets, understanding that this could be my last day. We're only guaranteed one day. We were talking about it last week. There's some animals that God created that only live one day. And they get everything they're done supposed to do in one day. You know what I'm talking about? Fun life. But Jesus says to live like it's your last day. To realize you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Today I need to live trusting and relying on Him. Sorry. So how do we do all? What? Just have a couple more verses. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves as a hung sacrifice? No, a living sacrifice. What are we doing? That's, and God says that's holy, acceptable, and it's His perfect will. And through that, well, through doing that, and then it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Lord wants to renew the way we think. He doesn't want us to think too highly of ourselves, and He definitely doesn't want us to think not highly enough of Him. So He just wants to renew your mind, and as He does, that proves out what is the perfect and acceptable will of God. James tells us in James 4, submit to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. You double-minded, lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. If we can walk in a way of humility, understanding, I understand I'm His friend. I also understand that I don't understand everything. But I do know that He wants to live His life through and reach out and touch people. Help me not be afraid. Even when I don't understand. Even when you're not working and walking things in the way I thought you were supposed to. I was taught Right? He's going to show you a new life as we live surrendered and trust in Him. So, if you fail, when you fail, if... Actually, the Bible says if. Doesn't say when you sin. First John says if we sin, we have an advocate. Doesn't say when you sin. It says if. It's important. We don't have to. We can trust Him. Don't be surprised if you do. But no matter what, we get back into His Word. We come to Him. We come to the place that tells us that you're forgiven, you're clean, you're mine, which gives us hope to go. And those are the things we need to remember. But we do need to make choices to keep the conscience clear. Because it's really hard to love when you're worried about what everybody thinks. Especially when if you're lying and doing things like that and living in a way that you can't even sleep at night because the things are going through your mind. The Lord doesn't want you to live that way. Clear conscience. Open, unveiled faces before Him. Knowing that any time I say anything to anyone, He's in me. He's there. Everything is naked and open in His sight. So it's not like I can tell a secret on God. So just be open. Be aware. And don't hold your own life dear. The only reason why we strive and struggle a lot of times is because we're incomplete in our faith. So we like that man with the son who had the demon and that epilepsy. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Help me see the beauty of who you are and that I can really truly entrust my life in your hands, that you will take care of me. And don't try to go and do it yourself. We hang ourselves all the time by saying, I'm so stupid, I do this. We kill ourselves, but it's not the death that the Lord wants. He wants a renewed mind, a steadfastness that only He can work in. That's not for us to try to pick it up and figure it out on our own. The sifting that the enemy does, I think most of the time, is after the failure. Why? Because the scripture says that He stands before God day and night accusing the brethren. I don't think He's up in heaven with a long list that says He stands before God accusing you. It means the accusations are coming at you from Him to keep you to come from Him so that you try to kill yourself rather than rest and trust in Him and die daily to seek Him through His Word. This isn't a dead Word. It's living and active. And He wants to meet us and speak to us. What do we do in failure? Same thing in success. Trust the Lord. That He'll do good and He is faithful. Because guess what? We're not living in times much different than back here where people want Jesus dead. And the only Jesus on this earth today is in you. And that's true. We don't see it as much in this country. It has been close to us. Right? But that's the reality. The good thing is if you're a football fan, you're a saint. So you got victory. Had to pull that one out. Anyway. So I know that, I don't know if this was a blood, I know that, and we shouldn't be surprised when each other fail. And that's why the Bible talks about us that we're to build one another up to encourage and to strengthen. And so when we see somebody failing, we come along and we help them up. Not kick them when they're down. And so, and we do that by going to His Word. Coming to Him, the author and perfecter, and we're seeking after Him. To speak to us, to meet us, to be our strength in these times. And look, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're guaranteed this moment right now that we can love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength and love our neighbor as ourselves. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you never fail. And Lord, we thank you Lord, that even when we think you have, Lord, you have a way to speak to us, to show us that you're right. Lord, you say that in your word, that let God be true and every man a liar. So Lord, even in our own doctrines or things that we think we have lined up straight, Lord, help us to be open and yielded to you. Lord, most importantly, help us to live a humble life, surrendered to you. Lord, not fearing man, but living a life totally just trusting and grateful towards you. And we know we wouldn't be here unless the work, if you hadn't died, Lord, most of us wouldn't even know each other. So we thank you for the life we have that you've given us. And Lord, help us to walk it out day by day, trusting you.